Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
And welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, the rights group Human Rights Watch issues its weighty annual report and takes aim at the conflict in South Sudan.
We are calling on commanders to take all necessary measures in the South Sudan to ensure their forces act in accordance with humanitarian law and take appropriate and prompt disciplinary action against those members who commit violations.
And the African art of storytelling, and not just for children.
What my grandma says, tickle them. When their mouth is wide open with laughter, you pour in the truth.
Stay with us for the next 25 minutes.
Top story.
...2013 was a worrying year for human rights in a number of African countries. That's the gist of the annual report just issued by the rights group Human Rights Watch. It says the unrest in the Central African Republic and the fighting in South Sudan are contributing to human rights abuses. The report also lambasts Cameroon, Uganda and Nigeria for grossly undermining the rights of gays and lesbians. Tuzo Kumalo attended the unveiling of the report in South Africa.
At the report's launch in Johannesburg on Tuesday, Human Rights Watch Southern Africa Director Tiseke Kasambala singled out Central African Republic, CA, and South Sudan as two of the main human rights abuse hotspots on the African continent. Kasambala said in CA, the last year was marred by the brutal torture and killings of civilians by Seleka rebels. The ongoing unrest in South Sudan is also said to be escalating human rights abuses there.
We are calling on commanders to take all necessary measures in the South Sudan to ensure their forces act in accordance with humanitarian law and take appropriate and prompt disciplinary action against those members who commit violations.
The report also highlights the perceived failure by the Somalian government to address the human rights crisis in the capital, Mogadishu, and elsewhere in the country. And while South Africa's constitution guarantees human rights protection for all citizens, Kasambala said recurring incidents of police brutality were tarnishing this country's human rights record. 34 miners protesting for better wages were shot dead by the South African police in 2012, and many other people were killed by the police during service delivery protests.
The recent events in which two people were killed and one person was allegedly thrown from a police vehicle is an increasingly disturbing pattern of violent police conduct in South Africa, and this is something that needs to be seriously addressed in the coming year.
Human Rights Watch also condemns the African Union for using the election of Uhuru Kenyatta as president of Kenya as a reason for him not to be tried for alleged human rights abuses related to the deaths of close to 1,000 people following the elections of 2007. The report also highlights the abuse of gay and lesbian rights throughout much of the continent. Graham Reed, the lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender LGBT director at the Human Rights Watch, described the same-sex marriage prohibition bill recently signed into law in Nigeria as a dangerous piece of legislation. Reed ranks Cameroon and Uganda amongst the worst countries in abusing LGBT rights.
Organizations are lobbying for social space, for the rights of LGBT people, for legal reform, for access to social services, and for attitudinal change. And I think what we see is a backlash against that.
But it wasn't only countries in Africa that were lambasted for human rights abuses in the nearly 700-page World Report. It also condemns what it calls the expanded government crackdown on government critics in Russia and what it describes as the policy of waging war by killing civilians in Syria.
Tuzo Kumalo in Johannesburg, and let's take the opportunity to look a little more closely at that report, starting in South Africa. Daniel Bekela is the Africa Director at Human Rights Watch, and I asked him first, what were his organization's chief concerns about that country?
Relating to South Africa, our concern over the past year has mainly been on the situation of xenophobic attack against migrants. on the situation of the status of freedom of expression and media freedom as it was seriously threatened by a pending bill called the Secrecy Bill, which threatens to penalize the disclosure of what is considered as classified information by the state. And we remain concerned about treatment of migrants from neighboring countries, particularly from Zimbabwe. And the last one would be on the concern around police brutality in dealing with public protests. There were a number of public protests from communities that are marginalized, that are not benefiting from the economic progresses of South Africa. And the way the police has dealt with such protests has been an excessive one, which has resulted in the deaths of protesters and ill treatment of protesters.
You mentioned Zimbabwe. Was there any improvement in the human rights situation in that country in 2013?
Political space in Zimbabwe remains constrained. Freedom of expression and freedom of association remains under threat. It's unfortunate that last year was, in some sense, a missed opportunity in terms of making progress in its human rights record by holding a credible and acceptable election. But unfortunately, both in the run-up to the election and during the election was marred by abuses, including violent abuses.
In South Sudan, the United Nations says it has come across reports of mass killings, extrajudicial killings, widespread destruction and looting, as well as the recruitment of child soldiers. Has Human Rights Watch been receiving similar reports?
Yes, our findings are exactly similar. Our researchers have been to South Sudan since the violent conflict erupted in mid-December. And we have also been able to interview over 200 victims and families of victims. And we have also identified that there have been cases of targeted killing in terms of targeting people for nothing other than their ethnicity.
What does your report have to say about the Central African Republic?
What is very disturbing about Central African Republic is the tendency how the conflict is increasingly taking a color along religious lines, and both sides to the conflict, the Seleka rebel forces and the anti-Balaka groups, attacking civilian, Christian and Muslim communities. It is one of the extremely worrying political crisis and humanitarian crisis we have in the region now.
What signs of progress has Human Rights Watch detected in Africa over the last 12 months? Surely it's not all bad news.
What is encouraging and what is positive in Africa is progress in terms of economic situation of some countries, countries like Ethiopia and Rwanda. And another encouraging trend in the region is the commitment and dedication of activists in the civil society sector who continue to stand up for human rights in spite of an increasingly difficult environment.
Daniel Bekele, Africa Director at Human Rights Watch.
Africa Link, bringing you the story behind the story.
In Nigeria, the ruling People's Democratic Party, the PDP, has chosen a new chairman. He is Ahmadu Adamu Nwuzu, and he replaces Bamanga Turka, who had been widely seen as a political appointee of President Goodluck Jonathan. Now, the PDP recently suffered a string of defections to the opposition All Progressives Congress, the APC, and has lost its parliamentary majority. So, can the new chairman win back for the party the support that it has lost? I put that question to Tokor Abdulkadir, a lecturer in political science at Kaduna State University.
It looks unlikely that he can win back the support or stop the current upsurge in terms of defection from the party. He doesn't even have the capacity to do that. And what we have all failed to understand is that the manner of his election is not fundamentally different from the manner of the election of Alhaji Bamanga Turka. And most importantly, the issue of Goodluck's desire to contest for next year's election is at the root of all the problems that are bedeviling the party. And as long as that issue is not resolved, I think the lingering crisis will continue and may finally consume the party.
When do you see that question of whether he's going to run for president or not, when do you see that question being resolved?
Probably by the time the Independent Electoral Commission gives the nod for political parties to start electioneering campaign, the primary election that will determine who the next flag bearer will be, I'm sure between now and the next few months. But at the moment, he is keeping all the people of the country guessing. He has not come out openly to declare his intention. If all the feelers we are getting, especially from his lieutenants, are anything to go by, one could rightly say that he is really going to declare his interest and subsequently participate in the primary elections that will determine who will be the next presidential candidate of the party.
Can we return to the new chairman for a moment? Why do you think the National Executive Council chose him and not somebody else?
Some people are of the opinion that his choice is purely because of the desire of Jonathan Goodluck not to have anybody that will give him problem, that will actually challenge his quest for re-election. Ahmed Adamuma Azu was a one-time governor of Bauchi State, the northeastern part of Nigeria. And after the election of President Umar Eradua, he had to leave the country. He was accused of corruption while in office. And I'm sure that matter is still in the court. So probably they need to have a compliant politician in the party who will do their bidding.
How important is this appointment for the party? Now, if the National Executive has made the wrong decision, could it mean that the PDP will lose the next election?
Going by the current realities of Nigerian politics, they may not actually allow for free and fair elections. I know the political party will continue to have internal wrangling, but will the government be ready to allow for a free and fair election? Many people today are insinuating that in spite of all the problems that the party is facing today, the election that is going to be conducted next year will not be free and fair. Therefore, regardless of the outcome of the crisis in the party, regardless of Jonathan's desire or not, PDP will go ahead to win.
Tukur Abdulkadir, lecturer in political science at Kaduna State University.
Africa on the Move.
They are a nuisance for private individuals and a menace for anybody trying to run a business. But power cuts are part of everyday life in Malawi. They're stopping this part of Africa from being on the move. Power cuts occur because power stations can't meet the demand for electricity imposed on them by consumers, corporate or private. One answer is to build more power stations, and Malawi's president, Joyce Banda, has just opened a new one. But the problem doesn't end there, and Malawi's energy sector still needs an urgent overhaul. From Blantyre, George Mahango reports.
Malawi's commissioning of Kabichira Power Station has seen it become the largest on the Eskom, a state-owned corporation system, with a total installed capacity of 128 megawatts. With the addition of Kabichira Phase 2 to the national grid, power generation capacity in Malawi is now at 351 megawatts against a forecast peak demand of 350 megawatts. Most people I spoke to said they wanted more hydropower stations to be established to get rid of the blackout menace for good.
Blackouts affects, for example, when you are cooking, then it comes just blackout. Sometimes you go to sleep without eating. And the second thing is like when you want to work, it affects a lot of things. And sometimes when you want to study, it also affects.
I don't think there is anything that will change because this is the gospel that we have been hearing for quite a long time after the installation or commissioning of a new transformer. Every time we are told, electricity will improve. But most of the times, what turns out is totally different.
We'll have no blackouts as frequent as they were before. And I'm very sure that would come to a stop if we are very, very careful with the equipment, if the equipment is taken care of.
When commissioning the plant, President Joyce Banda said the Eskom power generating company needed to reform itself to meet the country's energy needs.
I am also aware that many people and companies have not been able to access electricity from Eskom, despite their either applying for connections or even paying deposits for such connections. This is unacceptable. Eskom will reform and align with the current transformational agenda that my government is promoting if the development goals we're working on are to be met.
The 55 million new power plant has been financed by taxpayers' money through the Minister of Energy. Eskom was responsible for implementing and supervising the project. Banda also said the electricity power deal, under which Malawi wants to tap power from Cahorabasa in Mozambique, will also come into play soon.
George Mahango reporting from Blantyre. The new interim president of the Central African Republic, Catherine Samba Panza, is raising hopes of an end to the bloodshed in her country. On Tuesday, she pledged to appoint members of a new government on the basis of their skills rather than their religious affiliations. One day after her election, the capital Bangui was unusually calm, apart from isolated acts of looting by gangs of youths. This report by Hilke Fischer is presented for Africa Link by Susan Holton.
As from today, I am the president of all Central Africans without any exceptions.
Those were the very first words of Catherine Samba Panza immediately after being elected interim president of the Central African Republic. Samba Panza beat seven other candidates. Among them were two women and two sons of former presidents. They all had to meet stringent requirements set by the National Transitional Council. All those who had held political office under previous interim president, Michel Djotodia, as well as all party leaders and active members of the military, were not allowed to run for the presidency. Also excluded from the top job were members of militia groups. Samba Panza was appointed mayor of the Central African Republic's capital Bangui after Seleka rebels ousted President Bozizé. She herself never belonged to the Seleka group. According to the French Catholic daily newspaper La Croix, the news of her appointment as interim president was well received by most Bangui residents, even though the people themselves did not take part in the election. The 59-year-old was born in Chad and studied law in France, where two of her three children still live. Before entering politics, she worked as a corporate lawyer. She was also active in a women's rights organization. Paul Simon Andy, a senior analyst with the Institute for Security Studies in Pretoria, believes Samba Panza can reconcile the war-torn country.
It is certainly somebody who has the credentials to unite rather than to divide.
Desiree Nzanga Kolingba, who emerged as runner-up in the presidential elections, was quick to accept defeat.
I congratulate Madame Samba Panza on her victory. I also take this opportunity to urge all our fellow countrymen to join hands with Samba Panza to lead our country out of this chaos.
Samba Panza failed to win an absolute majority and had to compete in a runoff election against Kolingba, whose father was a former CAR president. The new interim president now faces the huge task of bringing peace to the sectarian conflict between the Muslim Seleka fighters and the Christian anti-Balaka militias. She is also tasked with facilitating the return of hundreds of thousands of refugees to their villages and restoring a functioning government in the country. In her first speech after her election victory, Samba Panza called on all militias to stop the killings.
Je lance notamment.
I call on my children, the anti-Balaka, to lay down their arms in response to my appointment. And to my children, the Seleka rebels, you too have to lay down your arms.
Déposez vos armes.
Paul Simon Andy doubts whether the armed militias will take her words to heart.
In addition to her motherly style and appeal, she will also need the security agency being able to force armed groups to lay down their arms should they not wish to do so.
Central African Republic has to hold a fresh election by February 2015 at the latest. France, however, wants the election to be held this year. The current law excludes the interim president from running.
That report was written by Hilke Fischer.
Making a difference.
Storytelling is surely as old as humanity itself. It has also always been a part of African culture. A Ugandan and a Kenyan recently launched a smartphone app with illustrated e-books of African stories. But in Sierra Leone, there is a man who claims that he is the country's only surviving oral storyteller. Nina de Vries reports from Freetown on his quest to make a difference.
It's story time at Forbay College in Freetown. The audience couldn't be more excited. This is a rare treat for them. It's interactive and fun. To hear someone telling stories or to be entertained by a storyteller doesn't happen anymore in Sierra Leone, says Yusufu Jallo.
There was a little girl who went to her mom and she says, Mom, my life is terrible.
The UK-based storyteller Jallo has been performing in Sierra Leone for the last few weeks, and he hopes to inspire everyone, but specifically youth.
It's not just about sitting down and laughing, but my grandma says, tickle them. When their mouth is wide open with laughter, you pour in the truth. So my stories are loaded with powerful information for them to grapple with and decipher and then make decisions, informed decisions about where these young people want to take their country.
Jallo has been performing all over the world, entertaining and educating people with his storytelling. He says storytelling can come in different forms, through song or just speaking, and can have a broad range of topics, but there always is a message of some kind.
So my goal is to use my storytelling to educate, to inspire our people again to who they are.
Jallo grew up with storytelling in his village in the northern part of Sierra Leone called Kamakwi. It was here he first experienced storytelling from his grandparents and other relatives. He blames the British colonization as one of the factors that made the country lose its cultural values, such as storytelling. He says the country's civil war also contributed to the dying of this entertaining cultural element. He encourages many people to revive the storytelling culture. Year-old Yessi Hallowell is a student at Forbay College.
I had earlier thought that storytelling is all about children too. I didn't know grown-ups could sit down and listen to stories as well. So I think I'm inspired.
I say enough! I say enough! You want to hear some Forbay?
And for Diana Doherty, Jallo's mission to revive storytelling is crucial to the Sierra Leone culture.
You know, younger people, we follow or we imitate so much of this Western world, and we are losing it. Even the way we dress, you know, we're losing so much. And if we can have two or three of Yusuf, you know, coming into Sierra Leone every year, let me say, first 3 months, we have one person, second thing. By the end of the year, young people, young adults will start realizing that we've been missing something.
That report came from Nina de Vries in Freetown. Before we leave you, a reminder of our main stories. In its annual report, the rights group Human Rights Watch has said that the conflicts in South Sudan and the Central African Republic were contributing to rights abuses in Africa. It also criticized Cameroon, Uganda, and Nigeria for undermining gay rights. We've also been hearing about the new chairman of the ruling PDP party in Nigeria and about storytelling in Sierra Leone. This programme returns at the same time tomorrow. In the meantime, you can contact us by sending a text message to 49160 957 59510 and email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. As always, thank you for listening. From me, Mark Caldwell. Bye now.